who can declare any conflicts of interest at this time?
None.
None for myself. We will now do roll call. Larry Farrar is present. Myself, Robert Fino, is present. Bill McCarter is present. Candace Mayo Young is present.
One more.
And Larry Edge is present. Larry, I'm going to ask one question. Are there any conflicts of interest at this time?
On, I think, two of these old minutes, I think that I was out of town, and I would probably, that might be a conflict of interest. And as much as I wasn't here for those meetings.
Okay. What do you call that? We call that, not abstaining.
In abstention.
Okay. Most times, almost count you as that, okay?
That's fine.
For that particular item. Our chief would like to now move this to the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item on the agenda is number 4, the incentive agenda. We're going to be approving 5 meeting minutes, May 22nd, December 29th. 2009, January 5th, January 12th, and April 6th of 2010. Does the board have any questions regarding these minutes?
Agenda with items A through E.
I would like to second that motion. We'll now take a vote. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda as listed with a show of hands. Show of hands show that four board members voted in favor of that consent agenda. One dead abstain. Our next agenda item is our call to the public. This is a... Okay. I want to remind the public that this is an opportunity to speak before the board and before the public. This is the only time, unless we're asked, the board does specifically ask somebody in the audience for clarification or anything like this. Time permitting, each presentation will be approximately 3 minutes. Action taken as a result of public comment will be limited to directing our staff to study or reschedule the matter for further consideration at a later date. The first person that we have is Mrs. Jones.
I wish to address the Sunset Pierce Fire District Governing Board on some concerns regarding retirement benefits. As we were told, a state-funded retirement pension was set aside for volunteers who had completed 20 years of service. Collection from this pension could begin at retirement age. Under the past chief, volunteers with red cards were administratively converted to part-time status, reason unknown. Volunteers were not notified of this change or allowed to choose between volunteer or part-time status. thereby forfeiting volunteer retirement program with no guarantee of a replacement retirement. Now, as part-time employees, some departmental personnel would be in limbo as to whether or not they meet the criteria for part-time as defined by the department. Currently, there is no benefit for us to be part-time employees. Our main concern is to not lose the retirement we would have had as volunteers, nor our years of service as volunteers if the proposed retirement program is implemented. I petition the Sunsites Pierce Fire District Governing Board to take these concerns into consideration before approving a new retirement program. Thank you.
Could we ask to get a copy of that wonderful presentation you did?
Yes.
What we need to do, the board does have to study the different options. Now, I talked to the chief concerning this, myself, about the different prospects or the different alternatives. And I think what we need to do is have the chief come up with a proposal or an option, or you can also have the board come up with some ideas and options concerning this. I'm not sure how many people this might involve. This might involve maybe 2 to 3 people. You know, part-time status. I think we need to study this for further consideration by the next meeting. I think we should have, or if we need a special meeting, if this interferes with our retirement program that we've started, then we might have to have a special meeting concerning this. Any questions or additional comments?
Mr. Chairman, if I can, if we delay too long with the proposal that we have tonight for the state retirement, it will affect costs, and costs will go up again. I don't know how far you got. The question was supposed to be asked of if we can allow them, the particular ones, to be volunteers and continue on. I don't know if you ever had a chance to ask that or not.
We'll have to discuss that. When we get to number 6, we'll discuss that just a little bit.
Okay.
Good point. We have another person that would like to speak. Terry Tingle.
Yeah, I'm just here kind of representing a few of us full-time employees. We're not here trying to threaten you guys or anything, of course, you're happy. We just have concerns about our future as employees, our future when it comes to retirement. You guys have been taking a lot of time on our benefits, health insurance, and retirement. And we have to look at our future, and when we can go to any other department and get these benefits the same that you're offering or better, if something doesn't happen, you know, we're going to be forced to think about our future and look at other places for employment that we can get.
Thank you. And I hope to get this taken care of in unfinished business. We're trying to limit our agenda items so we can approach these and try to get all these items on the table and continue to keep them on the table. And we will try to work with this, and we'll see what happens when we come to our unfinished business. Any other comments from the board? Let's move on to our next speaker, Mary Appel.
Thank you. All new subject, not benefits. I just want to give a really brief history. This is regarding the helipad. And it's the whole thing started one night when they could not land and pick up a Charlie because the visibility was so poor and it was raining. And so the Lions thought, well, maybe we could buy better landing lights for the helicopter. So we met with the chief, and that kind of morphed into a helipad with better lights, of course. At this point, we have several organizations that are on board in trying to make this happen and the possibility of a grant that will finance most of it. And our partners so far, formerly, are SCA, Sunsites Community Center, the Lions Club, of course. Spitfires are interested in helping with fundraising if necessary. And tonight, I'm asking the fire board to formally endorse this project so we can proceed. We have identified a good location, which is behind the community center, and they're talking about the possibility of a long-term lease of that corner to the fire department. Those details cannot be worked out by the Lions Club. They would have to be worked out by the fire department and the Sunsides Community Center. Mr. Plum has volunteered to do the architectural work for the Lilyhead. So I'm asking tonight, I guess, for a formal endorsement from the fire department so we could proceed. We do have a meeting scheduled for Thursday, May the 20th, and we just kind of tentatively set this about an hour ago, at 4 o'clock, and it would be for leadership from the fire department, SCA, Lions Club, and community center, so we can sit down and really start putting this package together. Hopefully, we can happen with your endorsement. So thank you.
Mary, what is this endorsement involving? What are you asking of us?
What I'm asking of you is to approve proceeding with the heliport, and in doing so, in order to apply for the grant, it would need to come. What we really think we'd like to, what we'd like to do is for the fire department to lease a long-term, very inexpensive lease of property from the community center. And the purpose of that is so they maintain ownership of that land, but the fire department would have control over the heliport. So essentially that's what we're asking you to endorse.
Do you have any cost breakout, any idea of what we're talking, or?
Not at this time. We're working on it.
Okay, and have you thought of the concept of the right of ingress and egress without a lease, such that you're tying the land that way, or were there any other discussions as to securing the rights to that property?
No. Okay. We did look to see if there was property available along Treasure Road in the vicinity, and there is not. Most of that property is owned by whoever owns the Shadow Mountain and all of that.
Yeah.
Right. And it is tied up in litigation and moving for some
little.
Time.
Yeah.
So it was from my understanding. Total cost, I would, do you have any idea, Mr. Plum?
I really haven't looked at that yet, since we really haven't done any drawings to sort of figure that out.
I don't know that total cost is so important, but we would have to know what
the
our
cost.
Cost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I would anticipate, well, certainly they would be an electrical bill, because, I mean, those lights wouldn't be on all the time, but they would need to be on whenever you're going to use the uniform. And then the other expense I can see would be maintenance.
Insurance.
And insurance.
Insurance cross.
Right. I don't know.
Well, we will discuss that on agenda item number 10.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board?
And we can go ahead and question.
Questions in general.
Okay.
Can I just make one comment? We have talked to Patty Lewis, county level, who is the person in charge of grants. So we've got a pretty good line of where we're going.
It sounds real good.
Yeah,
we'll definitely ask you some questions. If you don't mind us asking questions when we approach that agenda item. Will that be okay at that time?
Yeah, we don't have a lot of information yet.
But
because she doesn't
want to. We'll find out what we can find out.
Yes.
Okay,
let's move on to Jim Patterson.
Total change of subject. We've lived here for over 9 years now, and when we came in, this was a total retirement community. It still is pretty much a retirement community. I hope we get younger people and more active people. Well, we can't get any more active than what we already are. More people more active, and younger and more kids and stuff like this. But at the present time, having a meeting at 7 o'clock, that's close to bedtime for a bike. And looking at this agenda, it's going to be past bedtime and close to alarm going off to get up in the morning. I would just consider, can we move the meetings to 6 o'clock?
Oh, come on.
Thank you, Jerry. Board actors, go ahead.
Chairman, we're on the line.
From the public's comment at this time.
On that comment?
Yes.
On that comment, the only comment I have to make there is we have had 6 o'clock meetings, and it's been rather pleasant for me to go home slightly earlier on.
Well, it's definitely something that we will discuss and see exactly the people we can contact and revise statutes on that, on contacting the public and contacting the public. Okay, let's move on to unfinished business. Item number 6. Discuss and possibly vote to accept the Arizona State Retirement Plan for all eligible employees.
And I guess that begs the question of who is an eligible employee, as it was stated. Or posited.
Chairman Fino, if you could look at your packet, you'll see that there's several pages printed off. Starts out with the names of employees. It should be the very first
one on our packet.
In your packet, yes. It starts out, I believe it is 4 pages long. It also includes the emails that have been previously included in the board packet the last, I believe, since middle of April. This lists all the employees that are eligible, what it will cost to buy back 1 year of time for them, which they were promised at time of hire, and estimated estimated service purchase, the June 2010 contributions, as well as July 10 and 11 contributions. So you can see a total there on the first page. You see that?
Yes.
Okay. The only problem is, sir, is that if we continue to table the issue, so to speak, our prices do go up significantly each month that we would have to purchase more time, as well as what the laws are changing. You're going to have more points to retire. So there's a lot going on, and I don't know if you still have the book.
Yes.
Okay. And if you were able to read into it, Kenny, but
they have until July, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, right. It takes a month to get us signed up. So not really till July. We need to make a decision so we can get the paperwork started. It takes a while. It's not a quick process.
Did anybody contact the state concerning my last question on exactly how to handle the money that's in the retirement fund program?
The
$44,000.
The Arizona State Retirement really said they had no, a payment is a payment to them. As long as it's within the law and we can use those funds for those purposes, they don't have any problems. I was under the assumption that we could make one purchase with those funds.
And that's what I'm asking. Will the purchase be for $63,689?
That's the choice of the board. That would be.
And that should come out of the retirement fund.
Yes, sir.
That we have set aside.
Yes, sir.
For that purpose.
Yes,
sir. And then, as I understand it, the rest of the retirement fund has to stay in escrow,
yes.
In a sense.
Yes.
And at the same time, it might bring up another question concerning volunteers. A certain amount of that money has to remain for any possible volunteer claim that
right.
might come at a later time.
Right,
yes,
and I believe we have at this time, it was $128,000, somewhere in that area.
Yes.
So that's...
So that money that will stay in escrow will be paid back a little bit. If there's too much escrow, then they refund part of that fund back back to the retirement system,
right,
which will reduce our yearly cost, but not by much. Our yearly cost will still basically come out to around $30,000 a year.
That's 44.
It was 44?
It was 44 was what was in.
That's what we said last time in the minutes.
We have right down here the contributions.
This is what it will cost us to
implement.
Right, yes, sir. This is not what is the balance of the retirement fund, because I didn't.
No, not the balance of the retirement fund.
No.
I think that was just an approximation then, the 44,000.
I believe that might have been.
Well, we estimated 450,000 for our annual payroll. That's what our budget is for. And we said 9.6 was going to be the amount, 9.6%. So we rounded that up to 45,000. But because we weren't sure who all would be eligible, we dropped it down $1,000 and said 44,000. That's what the notes were in the minutes. So we were talking at 44,000.
To buy into the retirement, or
no,
what we have available?
The buyback was $29,940, mm-hmm. and that's to go back a year.
Yes, ma'am.
And cover everyone. And then going forward for the next fiscal year, we would be putting out possibly up to $45,000.
Okay, so we're still within.
So.
Because the next year is $31,200.
July 10th through July through June 2011, yes. Contribution is $31,263.
Yes.
And so, which is a grand total that we have to remove from the pension plan of $63,689.
Yes.
And, just keep in mind, it does leave enough money behind if we have to pay out the volunteers.
Right.
If that's something that we can do with the pension plan and go ahead and keep the volunteer if that's what they want to do, we should still be able to have enough money in that coverage to go ahead and pay them out.
Well, it is a state law that we have to leave money
right.
in the retirement fund
right.
for any volunteer right. that may make a claim later on.
Right.
I think at the same time, since we're talking about this, that we ought to rethink the volunteer status. How many people would that cover, Chief?
I think at this time it'll only cover two. We have two people that have gotten significant time in, and I think it's in the neighborhood of 10 years as volunteers. That's half the time they had to put in for the pension plan. And it's a shame for them to put in a full 10 years as volunteers and have to lose it.
Mm-hmm. Now,
if we could keep them as volunteers and they would allow us to do that, then I would like to give them the option if they want us to continue to be volunteers for the rest of the 10 years to fill their full 20. To go ahead and give them that option. Okay, if they go out on wildfires, that's a totally separate deal. Wildfire is paid by wildfire, as long as it's out of district. And they understand that if they do anything within district as volunteers, it would be strictly volunteers, so that way they can get their pension.
So we wouldn't have to worry about, because we had that same situation, our attorney stated that if we paid a volunteer, they were no longer volunteers.
Right.
But as long as the volunteer is paid through wildland fires,
only
which the state pays,
right.
they can maintain their volunteer status and not
right.
not have to worry about it.
That's correct.
any comments from the board? Any discussions? Questions?
I have lots of questions.
Go ahead.
I just don't know if I want to ask them because it's going to prove my ignorance. First of all, after Jessica's presentation, Mrs. Jones, if we approve this for the paid people, does that then negate the volunteers, or can we still consider that? It seemed like you were saying through your presentation that if we went ahead and applied for this and did it for the paid people, then that would automatically let the volunteers go. That's how I understood it.
That is because currently we are not volunteers. We were, like I said in my presentation, administratively converted to part-time status, but are unable to fulfill the part-time status qualification, and that would leave us.
Is that without 20 hours?
Right, 20 hours for 20 weeks or more. And that would leave us in limbo as to, we have not been given any information when we have asked for it, so we don't know where we would stand.
Okay, so another problem that I have is, reverting to Terry's presentation, it does seem like we've been doing this for a long, long time, but we also tried to better it for quite a while, and that didn't work out, and we tried to go with different things, and I don't think it's been such a thing that the fire board has rubbed their feet. We're just trying to do the very best we possibly can, and it's taken a long time. I also have to make the comment that I did not realize we quit funding the retirement account when this all started. I didn't realize that all of a sudden it just came to an end, and now we have to go back and pay back another year, which proves my ignorance.
Well, it was a budgeted item, and it should have been carried forward in the budget and paid.
But I guess I thought we had this particular retirement account that we're doing right now. We were in this retirement account.
It's a different one. It's more like a 401k is how they explained it to me. And it's not, it's subject to what the stock market does. And this one's a guarantee of 8% per year. And then it's going to be a higher guarantee for the next year. The state has said 10.3.
There should be a graph within your packets from, I believe, last meeting or the meeting before that shows what it can possibly do.
I'd like to make one statement. At one time, we had a choice between the Arizona State Retirement Plan and the Public
Safety
Retirement Plan.
The
board was waiting for information from the public, which retirement program is, because that's what the majority of the personnel wanted.
And that's what
that's why we couldn't make any decisions, because the public retirement program drug their feet up until the end of January, I think. That was
turned over to me in March.
March?
And that's when I took handle of it and been pressing to get it done.
And they said they couldn't do anything. Right. The fact is, we had voted to spend $600 to get that survey from the public retirement system, and they drugged their heels. And then when they finally came to us, they raised the price to $2,000, was it?
Right.
They raised the price to $2,000, and that's when the employees decided to go with the Arizona State Retirement.
Right, and that was in March. Right.
So
it's taken a long time, but I don't think it's because we've dropped the ball. We actually went to Laughlin and talked about this, and they said they didn't even know if there was going to be a public retirement or we were going to be able to get into it.
Right.
Was that not the situation?
That was the
situation. They weren't going to accept any more people because they didn't have the funds.
They didn't have the funds and or the personnel to take us.
I just wanted to get around to that point.
Yeah.
So I appreciate your concern, but it's our concern also. We can only do what we can do.
Well, any other
discussions? I'm confused. So what are you going to do? I can't say anything.
So any further discussion on this with the board? Well, what I would like to try to come out to we can take care of the retirement program today with the Arizona State Retirement, and at the same time cover those volunteers that we still have here, because we have to keep maintain funds in that volunteer program.
Okay.
Once we take out the $63,689.67, we cannot take any more of that money out of the retirement account. The rest goes into escrow.
Did we actually get a written letter from the county saying that we could use those funds? Because that's what John Oberreger said that we had to have in order to move forward. We don't have authorization until it's given to us from the county to use those funds.
Right. I talked to Bill Miller, and he says there shouldn't be any problem getting that authorization. It's just a matter of notifying the county what we want to do, and also notifying the Arizona State Retirement people of our intentions. I think today we could go ahead with a possible vote.
Our own accountant advised us not to until we had it in writing.
Okay.
That was the last meeting.
Okay, but excuse me, can I ask a question? You're telling me that we have budgeted $45,000 for this, so we can cover $45,000 with the budget?
For next year's budget.
For next year's budget?
Yes.
Nothing.
But they want to go back. They want to ask, they're asking us to fund back a year because they had to wait this year. They've been waiting on us to make a decision.
Okay. See, and that's what I didn't realize. I thought because we already were in this, it was being funded.
And they want us to use the funds that, what is, can you explain that?
The funds come from the volunteer retirement fund that has been building for quite a number of years. It started with $60,000, as I'm told so far. $60,000 about 5 years ago. And the state puts a certain amount of money every year. And it comes from Bill Miller's in charge of that. Everybody has to apply for those funds, and a certain amount of funds goes to that bank account. There are CD accounts, and actually, we have one right now that has expired. But those funds started back about 5 or 6 years ago. I don't have the exact date with me. And they've been building up with good investments, and now they're at $128,000. The fire district has not had any money into that. And so it's working out really good. We have budgeted $44,000, but at the same time, we don't have to use that budget for next year because the funds will come from the retirement program.
If they're allowed.
If we're allowed. Right. Okay. I think we can move forward.
So did I hear a motion? Are you entertaining a motion?
I'm entertaining a motion.
If you look at the minutes, and I listened to them very closely because I wanted to catch what it was said. And John, the accountant, said that we need the county to give us in writing that those funds are available to us to use for this purpose.
Well, and that's fine. I think what we ought to do is...
Are we talking about making a motion subject to?
Subject to, I think, yes. I would like to make a motion that we vote to accept Arizona State Retirement Plan for all eligible employees pending the letter from the county and a joint letter from the state retirement program saying, yes, we're aware that this is correct, that this is proper, and we are ready to move forward with this as soon as we receive the letter from the county.
Authorizing expenditure of the funds, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. But what funds? I think it needs to be clarified. Are we talking about the buyback plus next year's funding as and future? Because this is an ongoing cost.
I'm pretty sure we can. This is all what we have to clarify with the state retirement fund. We have to clarify that we can the contribution for the June last year's contribution, and also for the next year of 2010-2011 contribution. We have to make sure that those can be combined. If not, we have to fall back on the last year's service purchase of $31,263. And then our budget, which we have budgeted for next year, the $44,000, for the remaining $31,000.
Mr. Chairman, if I could?
Yes.
Dated June 3rd, 2009, the budget was put into the newspaper, and it says here that we have already have retirement fund of $44,000 for 2009-2010.
Budgeted.
But we don't know where we are exactly.
Well, we have that much budgeted, right?
Right, and we have not used it.
We don't know what has been used because we don't have each line item in the budget identified and how much has been spent on each one.
But isn't that a separate account? Mm-hmm. It's not our M&O account. Exactly. It should be its own budget account.
It has not been used.
It has nothing to do with our budget.
That's last year's budget.
No,
this is 2010-2011.
That is
this goes away July 1st.
That is its own account. It is its own separate budget. I don't have a budget for the retirement fund. I have an M&O budget.
It's a general
account. Right, but it should be its own separate. If it's its own separate account with its own separate account number, it should not be in the M&O budget. It shouldn't have been in the M&O budget. It should have its own budget. Just like the reserve account should have its own budget.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
It's part of the M&O.
No, it's separate. It's completely separate. It's part of all of it added together, but it's not the M&O account.
It's in the M&O.
Well, we have budgeted, according to what was put in the budget, $44,000 for retirement.
That was 2009, 2010.
Now, 2010. No, that was 2010, 2000. I'm sorry, 2009, 2010, yes.
So, and then we budgeted, we approved on the last minute, $44,000 for the 2010, 2011, is that right?
That's what we're budgeting for the next fiscal year.
See, that was my question.
Right.
We already have money budgeted.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's money already in the budget.
It's in its own account. So
that's why I say, don't we have money that we can fund this with without that?
It's in its own account as well. It's already there.
That was my question. That's where my ignorance came from.
Well, Mary brought up an interesting question or comment, and I want to make sure this is brought out public. We have budgeted $44,000 for the 2010-2011, but it will only cost us $31,263.13 for that. So why are we budgeting $44,000?
Because that's for the 9-10, not for the 10-11.
No, but for, we also budgeted. We also for the proposed budget.
Because we didn't know.
Right, okay. We had no idea.
Okay, I just wanted this clarity. Yeah. We had no idea.
So.
Do we change the budget or do we maintain that budget amount? That's
another hotline item.
Right. So
we can talk about that.
So that's a comment. Right now we have some figures here: $63,689.67 to apply to the retirement. As I discussed earlier, I was proposing a motion to vote to accept that plan. Once we contact the state, I think the chief and I should get together, or even a couple of the board members, or any of one of the board members that would like to do that, to contact state directly on the conference call, talk to them, contact the Arizona State Attorney, and also contact the county, and give them our proposal. My information came from Bill Miller, who was in charge of the Volunteer Retirement Funding Program. And he said there should be no problem doing that. All we have to do is coordinate this with the retirement plan that the fire district chooses. Any comments, questions?
I second it.
I still have the question.
Open for discussion.
I still have the question. I think we have the funds available to do it anyway.
Yes, we do.
For this year.
But we have the funds available, but we won't have to dip into that fund account, budget account. Because we can...
It's its own account.
Yes. If for some reason... I see where you're coming from, Bill. I think I finally... a light bulb came on.
I mean,
we have that amount budgeted anyway, so we don't have to worry about whether the Volunteer Retirement Fund funds.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted somebody to say. So I don't have to worry about the fact that if it falls through, we're not going to be able to fund this. If we can't take it out of that account, I don't have any problem voting for a contingency plan to say we'll take it out of those funds of the volunteers, which is way overfunded. But I don't want to find out that we can't, and then we can't fund this, and we're back to square one again, and the employees are back in la la la.
Good point.
The one other thing I don't want to do is vote for this and find out that we put our volunteers out the door because we voted for this and locked that chance. That's the other thing I don't want to do. If we can make it so that the volunteers didn't sound like to me that was possible when I listened to the comments, but if it is possible, I guess you're going to have to convince me, then I'd like to get this thing funded. I see that we have funding for it either way. But I just don't want to have this all drop through and all of a sudden the whole thing falls through again and we're back to square one. Okay? And I don't want the volunteers left out either. I fought tooth and nail to keep our volunteers, and I think we need to keep our volunteers. It is a retirement community, and you know, some of those people want to volunteer.
Bill, maybe I can help you just a little bit if I can. The only way that they wouldn't be beneficial to this retirement plan is if they are, in fact, part-time employees and do actually get a check from us. If they get a check from us, then they have to go by this plan, and then that's when they're going to lose that 20,000 or the 10 years that they've already put in.
Okay, but do we have the option of now, at this particular point, can they go either direction?
And that would be the question, when are they vested?
Can they go back to volunteerism?
I don't see why they can't. There's still volunteerism going on nationwide.
It should be a company or a department policy.
I don't know who changed it.
And I'm not sure that answers my question, but it gives me a little bit of something to do with that.
Ms. Bell, I think that what we would need to do is find out, and Mr. Pina, I don't know if you talk to Mr. Miller, can we do this all in one with one lump sum, and the money that's staying in that account, in that escrow, will be enough to cover the volunteers? Can we buy back this year, get the employees where they were promised to be, plus have that cushion in that account to still cover the volunteers?
Oh yeah, there's way more than enough.
Then that...
Yeah. More than that.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So I... That's what,
and that's why we're wanting to do that.
Right, that's what I...
Hold our budget together and take that. But I don't want to say that's the only avenue we have.
Oh, no, sir.
So, so I think right now we can vote to accept the Arizona State Retirement Plan for all eligible employees as it stands, just because our budget is budgeted. At the same time, if these funds can come out of the retirement fund that we have vested in our district, then so be it. That would save some money for a couple of years.
Carryover.
And we'll have a great carryover. And at the same time, let's not forget our volunteers. So we need a motion that will say a volunteer is a volunteer if they're only paid by the state through the Wildland Fire District. Any other options that they might get paid, Chief?
Not if they want to stick with the volunteer program.
Are you making a comment, Steve?
I would like to.
Okay.
On that issue.
Can I say that?
Unless it's been changed somewhere, it used to be volunteers can still receive payment from the department as long as their volunteer part comes as being able to say no, and I can't respond at this time. That's the volunteer part. There, to a certain point, I don't remember the exact cap or whatever it is, but there is provision for volunteers to receive payment from our department.
Under the same auspices as independent contractor, as such that the guidelines are not restrictive.
Right.
Yeah.
Volunteers.
Yeah.
So don't put that in there. It's limiting them only to state firemen, because if you check the laws, they are able to receive payment as volunteers.
Is that Arizona statutes then? Is it the law? Or is that?
I'm thinking that's probably Arizona statutes.
I think it's like a stipend.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They call it a stipend.
Right. And you're not to exceed X amount of stipends per year.
Exactly. That's it.
Well, then, part of the motion should be that the volunteers who choose to remain a volunteer will not exceed the Arizona statute of
a volunteer.
Individual. So can we make a motion?
Can we summarize that?
Can you summarize that? Candace, you're very good at summarizing motions like that.
It's already on the table.
We have your motion started.
Okay,
so you'll have to.
Okay, I'll revise my motion. It states that we accept the Arizona State Retirement Plan for all eligible employees as stated in our first page, with the total amount for last year, 2009-2010, mm-hmm. and for the coming year, 2010-2011, for a total of $63,689.67. And at the same time, maintain our volunteer status for those employees who wish to remain a volunteer under the legal status of the Arizona state statutes. The money will come from the budgeted amount that was allotted for 2009-2010 and also for the budgeted amount for 2010-2011 or from the volunteer retirement fund program for the year 2009-2010 and for the year 2010-2011.
That also.
If they show this motion. if that's
it's covered.
That was seconded by Candy.
And Candace did second that. Okay, all those, no, we'll not take a vote on that subject, that long drawn out subject. All those in favor of that motion with a show of hands. So can show that all board members do vote in favor of that motion. We will now move on to agenda item number 7. Discuss and vote on the pay scale recommendation completed by Brenda Sertina from Human Resources, as well as what Chief Mike Martinez provides the wages of change to. That's the fifth page down, I think, from our staff.
I guess my notes will be open. I'm going to do it.
Six pages down to the chief recommendations. Those are the same pages I pass out to the board members as part of their packet that I passed out. So we have the chief's suggestions in the center of Brenda Trichina's proposal. We have note that right in the center it says chief's suggestion. 3 steps over is the proposed pay rate from Brenda and the proposed increase from Brenda. The annual impact stated here is only stated by Brenda's recommendations of the annual impact. That is not the chief's annual impact for this pay proposal. We've already approved the first proposal of the chief's Martinez's pay. Looking down, I see increases.
If you were to go with my suggested impact, it would be an impact of $26,000 versus the impact that she had at $58,211.
Mr. Pino, I'd like to bring up that Ms. Trichina's impact was also chief's rate at her recommended rate and the assistant chief at his recommended rate, not what you voted on. So you can take the difference of those two off. Of that total.
I missed that one.
Well,
another long drawn out process.
Basically, what you need to do is, what did you say yours were going to be?
26,000?
Yeah, for the impact.
So,
addition.
Over here, you have to go 50 to 65, 8 is 16, and 40. To 53,754 is 13, which is 29. Take that off, and it makes it 29,211.40 approximately. So basically, the difference is $3,000 between chiefs and hers. That's what it comes down to.
And that covers those too. What about the rest?
No, that covers everyone.
All the chiefs suggested.
Okay.
The voted difference.
I'm there. Okay.
I did have one question concerning 4 of these freezes that we had. Could somebody refresh my memory why those are were frozen?
Those were just her suggestions to freezing.
She suggested freezing those.
Right.
Freezing those salaries. For what reason, do you think?
Due to the step rate, which is each step is a year, and their qualifications. If you notice, you got FF EMT, well, it's firefighter EMT, where the other ones, some of them were just EMTs or CEPs, which is paramedics. So because they didn't have the qualifications to be stepped up.
So why did you go ahead and raise those then?
That's my suggestion. I was asked to give a suggestion.
Yeah, I understand.
I feel that, you know, to me, some of the suggestions that I put in there was $11 an hour. I mean, to me, for somebody to go risk their life and have to deal with hepatitis B or MRSA or anything else out there, that's a short price to pay.
Yes.
I just want to be fair all the way around.
So even though Brenda suggested that these people were already above and beyond that pay scale, correct? That's basically what she said when she said freeze these particular employees.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And if you look at them, two of them are part-timers. And one of them only went up like 29 cents. That's a full-timer. And that person's been here 5 years.
But wasn't that step taken into consideration?
Possibly.
That step was taken into consideration with Brenda's report.
Like I said, if you guys asked me for a suggestion, I made my suggestion.
Yeah, but we still have to ask why.
Right.
We still have to ask, and that was my question. Paul Peterson is coming in?
Correct.
So he wasn't here when Brenda was added. Those
two at the bottom are added, correct.
So we have no review on that. So we have firefighter, CEP, suggested, proposed pay increase for 2 years is $13.36. Now Paul has funding for step two. Now Paul is just a step one. How long has he been in service?
Paul has been in service with us since 14th.
I mean,
in firefighter service.
Does he bring in any
experience
years from another or experience from other?
Well, yeah, he's got 14 years of experience, and he's been 14 years of experience. He's EMS, 16 years experience. He's got EMS instructor qualifications, firefighter instructor qualifications. He's got wildland basic, I believe, right? Firefighter two.
But didn't we discuss at one time that when we bring experienced fire personnel in or EMT personnel in, that they should merit more than just, or is that how the steps work?
My understanding when I asked was that we needed a process to figure out where they would come in on what step. And for instance, on Paul, firefighter CEP, he would be coming in somewhere between step three and step four of the pay scale proposal that you gave us from before. When I asked you before on new hires, you said they would always start with step one. But that's what I meant. Why I asked you in the first place was there are going to be people that have more experience, and you're going to want to bring them in a higher step. Mm-hmm. So we need to have some kind of a policy regarding that. How do we determine where somebody starts? And if you put them in at step between step three and four, then we have to talk about internal equities, because other people may have been here longer and they may need an internal equity raise with somebody new coming in like that. Also, there's policies that we need on step one. On step one, that relate to like a COLA. Are we going to increase the step one if there is a COLA? I don't even know. We don't have a policy for that, but cost of living each year. We've talked about this in the past, and it sounded like it was assumed there would be a COLA, but we talked about no raises this year because we were going to do the retirement program. So if we need a policy regarding the COLA, I think we need a policy regarding merit increases, and I think we need a policy regarding the adjustments, internal equity adjustments that may be necessary.
I agree with you, and on the bottom of the sheet it also explains that this is at a 3% per annual step increase.
What do you mean? Can you explain that? Like, each step is 3% over the prior step? Is that what you're saying?
That's what she had put it at, yeah.
So you recall, Mike, when I talked to you about when we had a new hire, that we were going to start them at the beginning of the step?
No, I don't remember us having that discussion.
Was that anything brought up in the... in the board, before the board?
I couldn't tell you.
Was there something brought up before the board, Mary? You remember?
Mm-hmm.
I think we had discussed that prior to Chief Mike's arrival.
Yeah, it might have been in there. And okay. It could have been 6 months or more.
Okay. It should be in the minutes. So.
Mm-hmm. I think these are all fine suggestions. But I agree with Mary. I think we need to make sure we have an SOP or some type of policy.
Like I said before, in a couple of meetings, a lot of policies need to be done and changed. So that's what we're working on.
Yeah. So this is. I think this is good. But what does everybody else think? I think I agree with Mary. We need to. Get some policies implanted before we make these changes so that we can maintain
internal integrity. And Mike, I think that's something that's going to have to come from you in terms of your understanding what each skill or level of education or achievement each of these people has, and such that if you could get level one is engine qualified, level two is da da da. I think that's where it's going. I don't know that necessarily stops us from approving this kind of program. Once we have the policies in place, there could be some adjustment, but there needs to be some kind of consideration soon.
I think that we can approve the proposed pay scale, but I don't know that we can approve the individual raise or the individual amounts that he's suggesting.
Right, because I mean, you're real close to the one person, but then if according to the proposed pay scale, you're real close, you're just a few cents off. But I think to be fair with all the other employees, I mean, not to show any type of favoritism, but just to say, well, this is our policy, this is your pay scale, this is what you will be coming in at. And anybody else that comes in on that will have the same option to come in on that same salary. Mm-hmm. You know, then mm-hmm. we should have
something more concrete.
Mm-hmm. Something more concrete and concise, yes.
And perhaps we should have said that before we asked for suggestions. But
true. So I think Mary, do you think where did this proposed pay scale is not in our?
This was passed out a couple meetings ago.
Uh-huh.
So I just brought my.
That was passed out in March.
Mm-hmm. I think we hired human resource mm-hmm. strategies.
Oh, that was one that opened.
We hired them in January to do the study.
And I think everything, I'm not really sure, but it looks like everything is in line with what you've suggested, except for yours and Steve's.
Right. Ours are lower than what the suggested rate is.
So we could change the proposed pay scale by saying that we'd start where you suggested for those two positions, and then leave everything else the same. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you can do it however you wish to do it. I mean, you asked for my suggestions, and so I'm just saying you can, you know, if you want to go with her suggestions or my suggestions, or if you want to put in your own, I mean, that's all fine and dandy. I know that I've got to do the policies.
But I don't know. Because we don't know how the percentages are going to step up. Like, you put 3% in there, but is that every year you get a step increase, or is it based on merit? What is it based on?
I believe she put it in here as
cost of living,
set, 3%.
I don't agree with that.
What is a cost of, an average cost of living raise per year? What is
it? It adjusts by the board each year.
Okay.
Or in a corporate world, it adjusts by, you know, the senior staff. They vote. Every year, it depends on what the economic condition is. It may be zero.
Sure.
And right now it is zero across the board, just about anywhere else. So we don't want to, I don't want to put a 3% automatic adjustment. I want it to be an annual decision.
Then that's fine. It's just a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I'm talking to the other board members, so we have to make a decision.
Do you want to make a motion?
Can you read the rest, please? Proposed pay scale that was given to us in March, and I'll put this into the minutes as page 2. Leave each of those job titles the same. The second column under step 1, we would leave all positions the same, except we'll start the assistant chief at $40,000 and the fire chief at $50,000. That we would change the step scale to not be an automatic amount of 3%, but it will adjust at the beginning of each fiscal year, and that we will need to identify how we will go from step 1 to 2 and 3 to include merit increases and internal equities.
By what time?
Pardon?
How soon do we have that? By what time? When does that need to be done by?
By the beginning of the fiscal year, because we'll be budgeting for that.
Okay.
It's coming up right away.
Yeah. Do I hear a second?
It's your turn.
Any discussion on that motion? Further discussion?
There'll be discussion coming up.
Say your second.
Well, I'd like to second that motion.
Very good.
Any discussion?
You're uncomfortable.
Okay, no further discussion. We'll now take a vote. We will now vote on the proposed pay scale that was presented to us in March, exactly as Mary had stated in the minutes. Page 2 of that proposal will be available, and we will now, and that's been seconded, we will now take a vote on that. All those board members in favor of the proposed pay scale with a show of hands. Show of hands show that all my board members did approve that motion. Moving on to agenda number 8 under unfinished business, rediscuss and vote on the employee health care plan. The district must decide to either stay with what we have now or upgrade to StarMark. We've had some changes that have come up concerning the changes come up with employee dependents, and now the price has changed because of those situations coming up. It has gone
Yes, sir. When we started out researching different health care plans, I believe that was February. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
We had a representative from Aetna, Starmark is the name of the health care program, come down here and give us a presentation of. We had to fill out information on our ages, pretty much all of our personal information, and then they quoted us what it would cost for a better health care plan than the firefighters and employees already have. The board had decided to go ahead and allow the department to get a better health care plan, but the cost to switch over to a better plan was significant. The employees asked if they could split the cost to raise it, that the department would still pay for the employees' benefit package, and the employees would pay the difference for their dependents.
Excuse me, just one moment. That's the board had asked the employees to split the cost.
Sorry,
50-50.
And so we had all this taken care of. We had picked a plan. All the pricing was in order. But then I received an email stating that our premium had gone up from $3,004 a month, 32 cents a month, to
$4,238.91
in light of new information. So,
in light of new information,
here, dependents coverage, medical history. So here we are. We have the health care plan that we have at the moment, which could be said that it's substandard by some employees, or we can move to a better health care plan, but the cost is significant. So that's where I'm at with all my research.
Now,
the information is there for you.
Now, we have already approved to upgrade to the Starmark.
Yes.
Already. Now, in light of the new information, that's what the board has to discuss. Is another, what was it?
That's $1,200 approximately.
$1,200 increase.
That's about 25%.
A $1,200 increase on this.
I just want to say one thing. We researched several health care plans, and still at that price, this was one of the less expensive health care plans for the district. You go to a health care plan like Blue Cross Blue Shield, you're talking $7,000 a month. Now, I put in some other districts' information in their budget for what they paid for their employees. Granted, they might be a bigger department than we are, but I just wanted to show the board that many districts pay 100% of their employees' health insurance as a benefit.
Did we say that last time we talked about this, it was about $8,000 that cost more or over what we were paying at the present time?
Yeah.
And we were going to split that so that the employees would pay for it and we would pay for it. So now you're saying it's an additional $1,200. So it'd be about 9,200 total, and
it's an additional. Approximately, yes. It's an additional $1,200 a month premium cost.
So instead of it being 8,000 more, it's 14,000 more?
It's 23,000.
23,000.
No.
No.
No more.
No.
What's the difference?
For the year.
Yeah, it is. It was $8,000 more to go to Star Mark to begin with.
Right.
Now it's 12,000 or 1,200 a month times 12 is $15,000. So you add the 15 to the 8, it's 23,000. That's what it adds up to.
Oh,
it's going to be a $23,000 difference. With the employees now paying 4,000 of the original 8, makes it a $19,000
difference. Okay, okay. I was confused by what your number was.
I thought it was an annual, but you're saying it's a monthly.
I'm saying the...
1,200 is a monthly.
No, I'm saying... If you look on your...
It's going to go up $1,200 from what we agreed to pay between the employees.
Yes.
Per month.
Yes.
And it $1,200 times 12.
Right.
Comes up to about $15,000.
Right.
14,400.
Right.
15 with the change.
Right.
So that added to the $8,000 that we already went up.
Right.
Is $23,000 annual impact.
Yes.
To the department.
Right. I thought you were.
To the people of this community. That's a lot of difference. I have to go back to the fact that we don't only owe our allegiance to the people in this department, we owe our allegiance to the people of this community. And it gets tougher and tougher and tougher. We're just looking at thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars here. We're looking at 29 and we're looking at 23 and we really have to step back and take a look at this.
The alternative would be to stay with the plan that we have that is not only substandard, it's inconceivable that you would ask someone to work the hours that these people work, to risk their lives, to take the training that they take for $14 an hour, and I understand that $23,000 is a lot of money, but are we going to do things right? Are we going to do the right thing?
Well, we've made a lot of significant changes this year, huge changes. We had the sleep time change. We've had the retirement change. We've given increases to many people this year. And most of these things that we've done are ongoing costs. So we have to look at, are our market values going to support, are we going to have enough money to meet the budget every year on an ongoing basis, because once we make these decisions, they're pretty much locked in.
Mayor, I just wanted to let you know that the budget that was put in the paper for 2009-2010, there's $35,000 in the budget for health insurance for the year.
Things that we put in there, if we,
right,
could, if we
right,
could afford them,
yes,
we were going to vote on them, though. We hadn't made our mind up at the time.
But I just want to state what the budget was.
Is that the 2009-2010? What do we have budgeted for 10-11?
You should have it there. It's on our agenda. Can we go ahead and can we skip to that and discuss that, or?
Well, I just need to know what we budgeted for the 2010-2011. Mary, do you remember?
You have a budget. You have a 2010. It's in your packet.
Thank you. Health insurance, $28,000.
We have $28,000 budgeted for health insurance next year.
This figures out to $50,000.
I'm confused where how you're figuring this out. Help me, please.
$50,000 overall with
help me, please.
Employee contribution, correct?
Because the employees are paying the portion, so just break it down for me.
Well, it's $4,238 per month.
Yes.
Times 12.
Mm-hmm.
It is $48,000 if you leave the $238 off. If you put the $238 on there, I'm not quite that good at figuring, but okay. That adds another $3,000 pretty easy. So
what
are $51,000 now.
What are the employees?
They're going to pay four, so we're down to $47,000 with $28,000 budget.
Okay.
That's back to our $29,000 that I said was the difference.
Okay, thank you. I have to have some things explained just like you.
I understand.
We need health insurance for the employees. It's just as simple as that.
Right. They have one that's substandard.
Yes, very substandard.
And there's maybe, now that we've gotten these new figures, I hate putting things off, but on the other hand, maybe we need to find one that's more in the middle. Because we didn't know it was going to cost this kind of money. And year after year, if it goes up like that, I mean, look at the change. It was huge. Just in a few months, we've learned how much difference there is. And what happens if it goes up like that year after year, which is probably a year up?
In 2.5 months, it's gone up.
Yeah.
$1,200. So that's the problem as well. Or
but
trying to find another health care plan that is better than what we have.
All of them have gone up.
But are they going to continue to go up?
That's like saying I can tell you how many wildfires we're going to have this summer.
Okay. How many employees does this affect? And I can have.
They're listed in your paperwork.
And
with their rate.
And these other fire departments, I'd like to know how many employees that affects. You know, it doesn't matter what they spend. It matters what they spend per employee. Basically, that's where we're at.
Well, there's a...
Black Canyon was the only one I saw.
There's a Rincon Valley. It's a dark page. I think it's...
Health insurance.
Well, maybe that's the idea is
but how many
just
employees?
To vote on the ratio that the employees pay rather than worry about the dollar amount. Just say... If that's the one they want, then we pay a percentage of it, and we agree if it's 50% or whatever it is.
So they're going to pay 50% of their health care
when
now
is,
above and beyond, or 50% of what it costs?
Yeah, just 50% of whatever it costs, because that's what we did before. We said 50%.
But
maybe that's
50% of the increase, not 50% of their health care coverage.
Yeah, but didn't we break it down to... Didn't we actually break it down to... I think Terry brought that percentage of but that's still going to be huge for the employees.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge, guys.
Yeah, it has to be individual percentages, correct, Bill? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I think we massaged it, whatever you want to call it, to make it so that when we went through that, and we didn't actually end up doing that, but Terry brought up that somebody was going to have to pay 21% more, and somebody was going to have to pay 30% more by doing all.
Well, where I was working before, we had a cafeteria plan. I mean, this is another idea. Some people don't have dependents, and some do. And so maybe this person gets so many points. Each person gets so many points, and you spend them on life insurance or health insurance or whatever it is that's on our benefits package.
We don't.
And that's another way to do it.
Such a small department. That also raises our rates. If you have 10 employees that are paid employees that are eligible for the insurance, it's a different rate than having six, because having six, you have to go by their gender and their age. Having 10, they lump sum it into a different category. So there's several reasons why it's higher for us. We're small.
I thought we only had nine. Weren't we rather than one? We didn't have enough anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, sure.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say. That's what's also added the increase to the premium amount, is that we're small.
Oh, okay.
And it goes by gender and age.
So this sheet has left some people off again?
No.
And the chief and the assistant chief? And
no.
There's only six people here.
If they have health insurance, they can opt to go with their spouse's health insurance. If my spouse has 100% coverage, it would be better for me and the department to go for his, because it wouldn't cost the district a penny.
Okay, I have to ask this question again. How many people are affected by this?
It's right there.
Six.
It's right
six.
There. That's it.
$53,000.
For six people?
For six people.
Yes. And
we don't get a break until we get up to 10 employees.
So that's $8,500 per person.
And we just gave $4,000 on a match for their retirement.
I know, but it was still,
and
it was still
less than this year. And just, you know, it's adding up.
Is it close to what we have already?
Well, there's just no way around it.
$5.
Our employees need health care.
That's true.
Versus 30.
Just that simple.
It's pretty generic.
And good health care.
Mr. Pinon, there's other plans that we can... other options.
That's what we need, I think. I personally think we need to look at more options and try to find a little bit closer to what we thought we would do in the first place.
It's a catch-22 situation. It's already gone up this much.
Yes.
But
it's already been voted on, too.
How much did our plan go up that we have currently? Did it get raised also?
I believe the premium went up $50 a month at the moment, mm-hmm. with an increase with,
so
I believe one person added a dependent that raised it a small amount.
So that gives me hope that there's something in between. I don't know.
It's.
But we've already gone through the in-betweens. The study showed 5 different plans, and we voted on the one plan, but you know, there's still the prices of the 5 other plans that the board decided on and voted with. So I don't know.
The main reason why we brought it back to the board is because it's going to be an increase. If we stick it with 50-50, it's still going to be an increase for the board and for us. So that's why we had to bring it to the board. I mean, if you want to leave it at 50-50, we'll see what we can do. But
you guys need to look at what 50-50 is going to be.
It's right. going to be a significant. Right. I can't imagine that someone could handle that out of their paycheck.
It's another $100 per employee above what they already have. That's pretty simple.
Oh, yeah. And I already know. I can't.
$1,200 for 6 people, that's $200.
Yeah, I know.
Per each. That's $100 for us and $100 for them. So now they're looking at, I believe, about $136 plus their dependents. And I'm guessing
per pay period.
That dependent care went up also.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
for me to add my wife would be $354.54 a month.
$382. Wow. So yeah. I don't know anyone that can afford $300 a month out of their paycheck.
So I'm hoping everybody understands we're all in a catch-22 situation.
Any suggestions then?
I say 50-50, but you know, it may seem mean, but you know, a lot of us have to pay our health insurance. I do, and a lot of people do. And even when I worked for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Oregon, I paid, and our experience rating was high because. Even though we just didn't have a healthy population, unfortunately, we had a very unhealthy population, and it went on an experience rating, and it was group. And I still paid $200, and this was back in the 80s.
We surely haven't dropped paying for health insurance. I mean, we still have our old coverage, right?
Yes, sir.
We're not,
we still have.
We're not looking at the same thing as a retirement plan where we're going to come back and have to refund or something.
It's not great.
It's not great, and it's not dropped. I want these guys to have better health insurance, but goodness gracious, how in the world do you do something like this? I feel caught between a rock and a hard place. We've got employees here that need to be taken care of, but we also have the people of the community that have to be taken care of. And I'm going to just step out here and tell you, I'm appealing all of my taxes because I can't pay them.
Right, and taxes will go up.
Mine are going to go up.
We'll have
$1,200 next year. I can't do that. It's not good. Where it stops, I don't know, but I just want everybody to know I thought this was all taken care of, and you know, we were taking care of people. It's a horrible thing to step in here and find out this is happening, but I don't see any way to just tell the people of this community we're going to spend another $29,000. So I think we need to study it some more, and it may come back to bite us. I don't know that. But, you know, I think if we add up everything that we've given everyone this year, it comes up to substantial dollars per individual. I know that for a fact. I mean, we could sit down and add it all up, but I don't want it to become that. I want it to become, we just have to figure out how to make this work.
Okay, does anybody want to make a motion at this time?
I move we table it in lieu of, or in anticipation of, two more quotes.
The quotes are all in. We have all the quotes.
Not from necessarily them. Can we open it up to...
last meeting, meeting before, we had all the quotes.
Yeah, that's it, huh?
But those quotes may have... If everybody increased, maybe not everybody increased as much. So maybe we need to know what they are now.
Go back on the other four.
Yeah. But they were already above this?
No, there were some lower.
No, there was some lower. There's a whole... a breakdown of each individual healthcare plan that's in your binders and your packets that show how much it is.
But old quotes, though.
Old quotes.
Old quotes.
2 months ago.
2 months ago. So we have no idea what the new quote would be.
So she could, I'm sure she
because
could.
Because I agree
sure.
with you. We had it all set, we had it all planned, we had it all voted on. We approved the healthcare program, we moved forward to it, and all of a sudden it comes back. And, you know, now we have to. I mean, we had it approved. We had health care coverage for all of our employees, exactly what we wanted. Now, we have decided we want to spend, what, how much again? 50? How much more? 50?
$29,000
more a year on the same plan when there might be another one.
Well, one thought is that even during the year, even during the fiscal year, we're probably going to get some increases. So if we always set it as a percentage, then you can pick the, you know, whatever, which whatever one it was, up to a limit. Give it a limit. And then it has to come back to the board if it exceeds that amount.
Yeah, but you're already $136 per person.
$208
And this is with the employees paying their dependents. Mm-hmm. So.
I thought it went up because the dependents.
It did, but the employees will still pay that.
Oh.
That portion of their dependents, the district is not covering
they
their.
They brought the entire group up.
Yes.
Along
right.
with my dependents.
The district's not covering their dependents 100%. They're still out of pocket for those now, plus their own being raised. It's a hard situation.
Here's a scenario. What if when we approved the health care plan, we budgeted for this, and we have an employee come in, right, a seventh employee come in, with a dependent. Would all of a sudden our rates have gone up again because of that dependent status?
Depending upon
what the
pre-existing
right.
households.
The history of that dependent. Healthy, great.
Childbearing.
Yes, if they're in childbearing years or beyond that a significant amount, the rate is much higher than somebody who's right in the middle, healthy.
So we would have been caught up in an increase anyway, whether we...
That's
fine. Yeah, so we would have been caught up with an increase anyhow. So what makes this situation different than just another increase that...
$1,200 different.
...would have caught up to us anyway.
Because we voted on 4,000, not a percentage.
Right, but we voted on 4,000. We have a new employee. Mm-hmm. The increase comes up. Mm-hmm. What do we do? Do we drop our insurance? Do we say, no, we're not going to do this anymore? No, you can't hire that employee. You can't cover that employee. No, we have to cover that.
That's why if we say we'll cover 50% of the plan that they choose, then they choose it.
And that 50% will be prorated, in a sense, according to each individual's circumstance and status.
Yeah.
50%. I'm lost now. 50%.
If it's 60,000, then our portion would be 30, and they have to come up with the difference.
Who?
is a lot. But it won't be the same for every individual. But take six.
No, that's not correct. No. That would be 50% over what we're paying, what you're paying right now.
Right.
Is what you guys approved on. It was 50% over what the insurance plan is right now. So it was 50% of the increase.
Right. Not of their health care.
Not of the whole thing. It was 50% of the increase.
Because we're already paying their health care.
Right, the increase.
Right. Okay. Well, that
went yeah, I'm so, like, wait.
But, yeah, you.
Yeah, but it's not only 15,000 for us, it's 15,000 for those folks sitting
exactly
out there.
Right. I'm not saying only.
Most fire departments pay for 100% of health care. Goodness. You know, we brought this up again in Laughlin, and I still think it's something that everybody needs to do. Why don't we incorporate all of these volunteer fire departments, or all of these Cochise County fire departments, and bring them together to purchase insurance as a group?
Oh, it's a wonderful idea. Yeah.
And we brought it up, and they've thought about it, and they've looked at it. And the reason is because the bigger departments have to pay more for the little departments, and they don't want to pay.
I want to own an insurance company.
It's difficult. It is. And you know, we can't continue to compare ourselves to Fry Fire, and we can't, you know, the gal that was up there was from Sedona. They have a meager $14.4 million budget. You know, our budget has escalated, and I'm surprised that we don't have a whole bunch of people in here wondering what the world's going on, even though a lot of it is grants. I'm just learning so much all the time that it's overwhelming, but how much per person do these other companies, and again, you know, you go to Rincon, it's $152,000, but that must be for at least 15 employees, I would think.
Probably more like 30.
So now you're looking at $10,000 or something like that, okay. If it's 30 at $152,000, they're paying $5,000 per employee, we're paying $8,500.
What insurance companies are they going
with? Blue Cross, Blue Shield.
Blue Cross Blue Shield, but see, then they get huge discounts for the extra people. Anytime you get over 10.
And we did get a quote from Blue Cross Blue Shield.
I'm sorry, guys, but I think we need to compile our thoughts and our efforts again and say we've got to go back to our firefighters and say, guys, we need some help here. We, you know, can you understand? And or else we have to go back to our budget and say, is there this kind of money there? And is there actually double this kind of money there in case we have increases?
Well, there will be increases. It's just that sometimes we're going to have to put in our budget and plan ahead for increases. Because if we get more employees, there are going to be increases. But at the same time, I still think we're going to have the same discussion with six employees. And if we get another employee, we're going to have the same discussion. What are we going to do? I mean, that's basically, in a sense, what we're doing right now.
Okay, so what we're going to have to say then, you know, is rather than $28,000 budgeted for insurance, we need to budget $57,000 with an added chance of another $29,000. So we have to say $86,000 is what we need to budget for insurance. Do we have that leeway to budget $86,000 for insurance? And if we do, what do we cut?
Exactly. What do we cut?
You know, and then add on top of that another $26,000, possibly for raises. So now you're talking $109,000. Pretty soon, it adds up to real money.
It's already there.
So I'm just saying, where does it come from? And
what do you think realistically we can reduce it to, Bill? Do you have any ideas?
As far as insurance?
Insurance.
I'm afraid we're not going to be able to reduce it. But that brings me back to my thought. What do we cut? What do you cut? Where do you get rid of? Where's the meat of the thing that has to go? Or do we put a call out to the public and say, what would you like to see done on this? We're looking at this kind of increase, $86,000 rather than $28,000 for insurance. Do you want to step up to the plate and have your firefighters insured, or what do you want to do? Because really it comes down to that.
Yeah, or would the, in other words, does the community want that tax increase to happen?
Well,
or not?
We need to get on to our budget. Can we table this for a few minutes until we look at the budget?
Let's come back to that. We're going to move on to agenda item number 9, discuss and vote on the proposed budget for the year 2011.
There was a motion.
Oh.
And so don't we have to...
I withdraw the motion.
Okay.
Okay, the motion has been withdrawn. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Mary, for the proper procedure. We'll move on. We'll table number 8 briefly until we discuss agenda number 9. Discuss and vote on the 2010-2011 proposed budget. We all have a copy of that proposed budget.
Can somebody summarize what changed from the last time? Because I got an email with revised 2010-2011.
Yes, I can do that.
Okay.
The first one I sent out, we were looking at I had it figured out at 3.25. Well, went through and talked with Tom Schellings and talked a little bit more about the levy portion of it. And the maximum we can go is 2.65, which drops us because last year we were running at 2.9868. So this year the budget will be running at 2.65, so it brings the tax levy down a little bit.
But, so they reduced the amount, because at one point it was 3.2, wasn't it?
That was the penalty, but that was the penalty
right.
of the overuse the years before.
Okay. And right. So this is specific to our department?
This is specific to our department. We cannot go over 2.65.
That's set by the council.
So what changed in the budget?
So what changed is our assessed valuation was $18,111,323. Our property tax revenue, $479,858.
Now that increased, right?
Yes, and the other thing that increased was also our FDAP, our Fire District Assistance Tax. Prior to, I believe it was in the neighborhood of... 73,000, which this is brought up to 110,000.
What makes us think that we're going to increase our tax revenues from 425 to 479?
Because it was that's only 13 million something last year in assessed valuation.
Went up.
Correct.
Yeah.
But we had the same assessed valuation on our previous budget.
It should have changed.
It should have.
If prior
well,
years before.
That was in my book.
Prior years before. I believe whoever...
You're talking about the one that I sent out before I sent this one.
Right.
Because I didn't have my figures correct. That's why there's a second one sent out. The correct one is the one that has the 2.65.
And the 479,858, which went up.
Right.
Right. The county had to give us that information before we could...
Right. Before we could come up with our
finish
numbers.
Finish the budget.
Okay, well, we'll just have the number going.
So the one we need to be looking at is disregard the 3.25, and we need to look at the 2.65 for 100 assessed valuation. And that's where all these numbers come in. Now, you were asking, where are we going to pull from? Well, I've already put in a cushion of $450,000 for salary. There's a little bit of a cushion there. We also have a cushion in... A little bit in equipment maintenance, little tiny bit in fire protection gear and equipment, simply because we just got all those grants, we shouldn't need any equipment. You asked about if we brought on new employees. We do not plan on bringing any new employees for the next year, except for to fill in shifts that are already, if somebody was to quit and leave or get fired.
Which is reflected in the 450?
Right.
Okay, now
if we do get a grant for the SAFER Act, mm-hmm. then those people would be put into this and be into this play, but they will be under the grant, and they will be covered for 2 years 100%. The third year, we would have to worry about that.
So that gives us three more people toward insurance.
Right.
But it also depends on what the conditions are of their health or
right.
other people's health.
Correct.
So and that's no guarantee that it'll bring right. it down.
Well, we're trying to just get to the 10 where it doesn't matter.
But just remember, for the 2 years of the grant, they will be covered 100%. That's their unemployment tax, everything.
Is the $450,000 taking into consideration the changes we just recently made?
Not taking them into it 100%, but there is a cushion. Actually, I think that when we first figured out the payroll, we were looking at $385,000.
So you're looking at $65,000 cushion.
Well, we already have $28,000 budgeted for health care. We have to basically come up with another double that. Is that right, Bill?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Double that.
And I'll tell you, our electric bill is going to go down probably 85% since we disconnected those heaters in the gym and mineral.
That was outrageous. That was outrageous.
Did you look at the five-year plan, and are those five-year plan items under equipment going to be included in this budget? Are we able to pay for them?
As far as the five-year plan goes, we're not going to be able to buy anything of big amounts this coming fiscal year. So we're not going to be able to go out and buy a truck. We're not going to be able to go out and buy a whole truckload of hose or anything like that. Hopefully, with except for what we got on the grants.
Five-year plans are always flexible.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Was there an ambulance plan at one point?
What?
Yeah.
Ambulance?
Yeah. Plan? And like I said, that doesn't change for the grants. I mean, the grants are there. We do have a grant out for an ambulance right now.
So you're thinking that that's...
But I think with the $72,000 cut we got on the budget this year, I think that... I don't think we'll be doing any big purchases this next fiscal year.
And I did some checking into the restrictions on our reserve account. Per Tom Schilling, that account is not to be used for purchasing equipment and then putting the money back. It's not to be used as a cushion for payroll. It is to be used for a large purchase.
Yeah, that's the way I understand.
Like a down payment for our vehicle. It is not a savings account.
It has to be for a capital
account. Word for word, it is not a savings account.
Let's be clear. The reserve account and the carryover account are two separate things.
The reserve, yes.
Correct.
But John mentioned having more than one type of reserve account. He said
we're
should have an operating
out.
One. And
mm-hmm. Yes.
You can. Yeah.
You can. But the one we have... Is
for capital.
Capital for capital,
so
for a large purchase.
Do we need to put that in here that we're going to have the carryover go to different reserve accounts?
No, just the reserve account. That's what we're talking about.
But
right
the point. Reserve account now currently is defined as capital outlay, large capital outlay only.
Right.
So maybe we need to.
You've got a $69,000 carryover, and where are you aiming it?
Right,
exactly. Sure, I see
so
what you're saying.
So maybe we need the policy set before so that we can say what part of that carryover, where it goes to.
You don't want to target your carry forward.
And you've got to. You can't put it in reserve. It ends up with capital outlay.
You don't want it in reserve. You want to leave it as carry forward. And the reason for that is you've got to have operational money from July 1st. Mm-hmm. Through November.
Yeah.
My question was, yeah.
And if you designate it to something, you got to spend it on that. Yeah. You need to leave it open for payroll, for
and until the tax money
yes.
comes.
That's legal.
Yes.
You can keep a carry forward account.
Yes.
And you can add to it next year. If
oh
you
yes.
Carry
yes. I had my fire district. I took them from a $20,000 carry forward every year to $280,000.
So how did we come up with a reserve account of 64,480?
The reserve account is the account you guys made.
And it had been at $78,000, and
right.
we're not
we
sure where.
From right. last year. We had a carryover, mm-hmm. and we had a carryover reserve. So what we did,
it is.
Was it by a huge right. amount.
So we actually stuck our carry mm-hmm. forward into a reserve account.
We did two things. We had carryover for operating, mm-hmm. And then we have a carryover for the reserve account.
We want to make sure we don't add any more to the reserve account.
Unless you're planning like in 2 years, you want to put, you know, 20,000 in, another 20, and then we're going to take that and put a down payment on a on an engine or an ambulance.
And it was, like I said, it was at, I saw where it was at 78,000, and now it's
64,000.
So I'm not sure where.
Wildland vehicle.
It's in the minutes.
Okay, okay. Because that question was brought up to me by the county, and I, well, I'm. News.
So it's to purchase the wildland?
I think it actually went for the SCBA's.
Yes, it was, and the PPE. It was part of the PPE's.
Okay, but was that a grant that was going to be returned, those monies?
It was over 20,000. You remember that, Steve?
That's in this minutes.
Okay,
it's
okay.
Minutes.
Well, he just had
that's
asked me.
That's within this group of minutes that we just,
okay.
We bought four, six SCBA's and a Cascade.
That's
your
breathing system.
Okay. So was that capital outlay?
Was it a?
That's capital outlay.
All right.
Was it a grant?
No.
Okay, so that's just something we purchased.
We did that because we had SCBAs on a grant and didn't have any idea whether we were going to get them. And
okay.
They said we couldn't use the SCBAs we had.
And it's dangerous for.
Okay.
We were going to buy used ones, but they wouldn't be covered by the warranty, so we bought. I just read it in the minutes.
Okay, okay. So well, that way I can tell them.
Demonstrator models that were from 5417 up to 6012, and we got them from 3826, I think.
So now we've got 16 strong.
We have 16 SCBAs, and that's good. This department didn't used to have any zero. Yeah.
So any other proposed changes to this budget?
One other question. on the grant expenditures, John was talking about a $25,000 audit fee per year.
If we went over 500,000, yes.
Aren't we over?
No.
Yes.
So yes, if we got federal grants over $500,000, then yes, we would have to pay $25,000 for an audit. However, if you do your grant correctly, you can put the $25,000 audit in the grant and get the grant paid for.
Yeah, I remember him saying that. I'm sure glad the public's all here today.
Any other questions from the board?
Well, I guess I still am a little bit uncertain about the revenues and why that changed. We still had the same assessed valuation, but our total revenue estimate went from 1.22 million to 1.3. Why did our revenues grow that much? What's
don't
different?
Know what she's looking at.
On March
9th,
2010. That was the date on my sheet that's in my book.
Okay.
And then I'm looking at 4/29/10. We still have the tax rate, or not the tax rate, but we still have the assessed valuation, the exact same amount. But
you don't have the right one. You're not on the
you
right
keep
budget.
Keep looking at the old one. I told you that one has mistakes in it.
It's just wrong.
Yes.
Just take it out. Yeah, cross it out. There's one in your packet that says
4/29/10.
The one I gave you tonight. Plus, I think Chief.
I emailed
it to
you. And I understand your problem with that, Mary, because what you're saying is, are there mistakes now?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Basically. Right.
This should be pretty right on. We went through it step by step with Tom Sheldon.
Well, we all have the same one, Mary, but I had an old one.
Can I have your old one? So you've got a $54,000 increase in property tax revenues.
Right.
Because of the increased assessment.
And you have a $15,000 increase in fire district assistance tax. Now, I don't know because I wasn't there, but you know, were we shooting from the hip? Were we going from last year's? What were we doing?
No, I called Tom Sheldon to get the actual.
Okay.
As far as the FDAT tax, that was talking
about. But in the first one that you did here, just to ease our mind a little bit,
I believe it was from estimating from the last FDAP from several years' budgets.
Estimating.
Yes.
It was an estimate.
The FDAP.
I used the wrong numbers here, and here's the right numbers.
Okay. So the 425 and the 85 were estimates, and I can see where that would be the case. Yeah, okay. Here, Mary, this could maybe help you. No, just...
And that was in your packets as well.
Yeah, this could maybe help you be a little more sure. Because that 479,858 actually shows right there.
Bottom right corner.
It's from the county.
So the 425 was an estimated, and you can see that because it's zero numbers, and that 479,858 is full numbers. 110, now I don't know why that's 110.
Because Tom Schilling,
that's exactly 110.
That's for him.
Okay. When did we get this sheet?
It was in your board member packets. I received it for at least 3 months. It's been in your packet since I've worked here.
So if we had used the 479,858, then we would have been right back then.
Right.
Okay, I got it.
Right.
Okay. There you go. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Chief.
You bet.
Anything else? Any other questions for the board?
What was the wildfire assignments last year? Do you know?
The wildfire center factor came right around 80.
Same sort of security.
Yeah.
We tried to be very...
Didn't want to guess too high and try to make it too high. So.
Now, I have a question about and that. If we go over that, we can't use it. Is that right?
Carry forward.
We can carry forward, but we can't use it.
Right. But that means we can just buy Steve a new truck next year.
How do we feel?
Or the following year.
As a board.
Carry forward's fine. We don't want to lose her.
Okay, I'm going to ask a different question.
Well, wait a minute, because can't we take carry over and then move it into reserve? But we can't move reserve into carry over.
Right.
Right.
So we can always have the option for capital outlay, but our operations, if we go over, we're dead in the water. So if we do carryover, we've got it, and we have the flexibility to go either way with it.
Right. Correct. We're not dead in the water.
Yeah.
Well, and we could also invite Tom Schilling or somebody from the county that could come and set in on our meeting, and we could ask questions as well. That way you guys are hearing it secondhand from Chief and I. When we talk to Tom, you could ask him, you know, anybody could ask him what the laws are,
Wouldn't it be better to have a higher value for wildlands so we could use it?
Well,
but how do you guess?
We don't know what it's going to be like. I mean, we've been pretty wet.
We had higher last year.
And what happened?
We had 200,000, I think, and then we had an offset of 140. So we thought we were going to have a 60,000 sort of profit. And we didn't get that, but we had it in there just in case. Mm-hmm. And if we had gotten it, we would have been able to use it.
So is this...
So I don't see any harm.
So is this 80...
Higher. We didn't lose anything by doing that.
Is this 80,000 that we came up with last year, is that total or the offset amount
gained? I think it was right around about, right?
Yes, right.
Now, you know, just remember this, though. Last year at this time, you were already fighting wildfires, correct? Right now, we're really not. We've only had, one or two little ones?
Very small.
And there's been nothing in the entire United States.
So is there...
And last year at this time, they were fighting
all over
the United States.
No, last year was dead all over
the United States. The year before?
So,
but for our station.
No, Montana. Nationwide.
The other?
Yeah, San Diego. California
burned pretty good.
Yeah. They don't have anything left to burn.
The other thing, board members, is also on the same thing with the ambulance. Okay. Didn't want to guess too high on that, you know. I mean, revenues don't
I mean, you don't really don't want to guess too high on the revenues. But a good example is this last month, we ran 38 runs. That's a lot of runs for us.
Okay, you know? So is the ambulance the same way?
Yeah.
If you only get to use what you assign?
Right. And I did the same thing, thinking, okay, this is what we did last year, I'm going to keep it pretty comparable.
But is that really what we want to do? That's my question. Are we comfortable?
I don't want to overguess and be way off.
But what does it cost us if we overguess?
We wouldn't have the carry forward. I would rather have the carry forward so that way we have operational costs the next fiscal year between July and November.
And the carryover money can go into a reserve.
Right.
Well, let's say we had $300,000 reserve or $300,000 carry forward. We could take a portion of that, whatever portion the board decides, and say, okay, we've got this extra money. Let's put it in a reserve account to purchase a big purchase, and let's keep this amount for carry forward for operational costs.
Okay, I'm not asking this question. Can we take this carry forward money that we have right now and apply it back to unforeseen expenses like we're seeing now with health care and so on?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
We assign it, then we assign it.
Okay. So we can take that carry forward.
That's all operations.
$69,358. And we can put it to anything we want to use it for.
Right.
All right. I'm comfortable.
Which is something that we were looking for to begin with. That's why we moved on to a different agenda item to see what we could find to help with agenda item number 8, the health care plan.
We have to carry forward money to do it, but we also need to go back to what Mary said. That helps us for 1 year.
Right.
This goes on forever.
On the carry forward, I think you're only allowed to use it after your budget year.
Right. It's not just extra money.
That's the downside.
So this carry forward money right here can't be used until June of 2011.
No, it can't be used till July 1st, 2011. Next fiscal year.
So that doesn't really help us with our current.
No.
But right now we're looking at having approximately $200,000 carry forward.
What was our carry forward for last year?
Off of last year's budget, we're looking at a $200,000 carry forward.
Right now,
we would be able to use.
That's what we're anticipating. Yes.
There's a hundred
buy for 3 or 4 months
because right. Until those taxes are closed.
But if you add all of our payroll and everything, right. I think we're around what $50,000-$60,000 a month
right.
that we need to right. get by right.
and
until the tax revenues start coming in.
Until
in
October,
November, December.
So July, we have to get by. August, September. We're almost 200,000.
We need that much.
And we have 103 in the
And keep in mind, we're still going to have revenues coming in from the ambulances and wildfires
right.
or whatever. But and then also some of the grant monies that we got out.
But then tax revenues should come back and renew our area.
Right.
Exactly.
We do. I think we need to have around 200,000 to go into the next fiscal year. Mm-hmm. So we have a little buffer.
And we're not dead in the water if we do this because even though we don't want to, we can still borrow the money. Correct, Tom Gray?
We could.
We don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was a little worried about that.
I don't want to do
money. My brain just works that way.
You had about $169,000 last year.
Carry.
On the budget. $169,000.
Yeah, I know they tell you to keep a carry forward account. To allow for 3 to 4 months of non-revenue from the end of the fiscal year until tax revenues start to show up. That I remember.
Yeah.
But
okay. Any further discussion? Any more questions concerning this? Any motions to be made on this proposed budget for 2010-2011? I'm sorry?
How many public hearings do we have to have before the budget's adopted?
Uh-huh.
How many times did Deputy Coach do it?
This, last year it was published twice, starting in June 23rd it was published the first time, I believe.
I don't have the dates.
I believe it was June.
I don't have the dates.
I believe it was June 23rd, it's in the minutes.
Check that one public period.
One public, but two postings.
Two postings in the paper, I believe.
It's been done once.
No, it was.
Can't be done until you vote on it.
Until you approve it. Last year, I believe the first time it was posted in the newspaper was June 23rd, if I read the minutes correctly.
Okay.
I would like to make a motion that we approve the budget that has been submitted for 2010-2011, get it published, and then have our public hearing.
Okay.
And I'll second.
Okay, this motion has been made by Mary Farrar to approve the 2010-2011 budget as stated and have it published, and it has been seconded by Bill McCarter. We will now take a vote on this. All members in favor of approving this motion with a show of hands. Show of hands show that all board members did approve this. Let's step back and move back one more time to unfinished business, agenda item number 8, the employee health care. Any further discussion? Any more questions? Any motions that any board member wishes to make? This $4,000 quote, how long does that last? 10 minutes?
I have no idea. There's no guarantees. Absolutely not. Just like the retirement, no guarantees. Longer. Could go higher. I don't know.
I think it's really stupid that you can't get a statewide insurance group. Pardon me.
That's why I brought it up. Yeah. Well, it has been brought up down at the convention.
When's the next convention?
After's been trying for 10 years. Huh? After's been trying for 10 years.
Arizona Fire District Association has been trying for 10 years.
But you
talked the big guys into helping the little guys, and it ain't going.
You have to understand that these big fire departments carry a lot more weight than we do, you know. So they vote no.
Why?
They don't want to have a
big
because they're going to pay a lot
cost
more.
Them money.
Why? Everybody takes their amount for, they know how much an individual is going to get money-wise, and then they just split it out per person.
Let's get back to the agenda item. District, any other further questions for the board concerning the health care plans? Any further discussion? Does any board member wish to make a motion?
I don't want to make a motion, but I do have a comment that relates to the insurance, the health insurance. It just doesn't make sense to me that there's that huge jump. And it seems to me that we are a little organization in a little dinky town and enjoying it, and in a county which is the poorest county in the state, and always has been. And here we are sitting, hollering and yelling about what the rate has gone up to. Why cannot the state regulate that sort of thing?
There's definitely a question that's been brought up many, many times. Right now we're just sitting on fact of life that it has gone up $1,200, and there's nothing that we can do about it at this time but this either vote on it and also carry to think ahead of time, because the same situation could come up again. I'm sure we're going to get rate increases. And what is the board going, you know, we're stuck between a rock and a hard place in a sense. If we want health insurance for our employees, we stay with the same company or go to another company and say, hey, we don't like this increase, can you help us with a better rate? And it's the same subject again, same situation that we're going through right now.
Do they tell us if we take this rate that it will stay? No guarantees. No 6 month cushion, no nothing.
Not that I read or have been told, but that's a question I could.
For 1 year and say this is all we're going to pay for 1 year and start looking?
Would the board feel better to table the motion and discuss this? We have a lot of questions. We have a lot of. I'm not sure if we can get a second if we make a motion. Table this discussion. I'm sorry that out of our four unfinished business items, we're going to have to table one, only because the impact is so huge on the district, the people, and the employees. You know, I mean, it's a big impact. I mean, I'm not even sure if the employees are going to want to do this. You know, so we'll have to. My motion is to table this, and if we need to, bring it up in a special meeting.
Can we discuss any more about it?
Once it's seconded, it's time for discussion.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it has been seconded by Mary Farrar. Now we're looking for discussion. Bill, do you have a question?
Yes. Yeah, my question was, I agree that we need to table it, but can we ask those questions of the insurance company? And I'll tell you why, and maybe I can't even say this, but I would merely be willing to make the motion that we take this insurance for a year and study it if it only costs us the $15,000 difference. In other words, if they'll guarantee us a year at this rate to give us a chance to work this thing over, I would almost be willing to do that because of the fact that all of the rest of these insurance quotes came in above. So if we can lock this for a year for the $15,000 and not look at another $29,000 increase, I'd almost personally be willing to do that. I don't know what everybody else feels. I don't want to do it and then have another increase in 20 days of another $29,000 after we're already locked into this insurance.
Sure. Now, is that at what the board had previously voted upon, those terms?
No, I'm saying we need to table it and find out, can we have lock a year in at this rate? Okay.
What's that rate going to last?
Or 6 months or something to give us a chance to breathe.
Well, then I make a motion.
Then we already had a motion.
Before they gave us their phone.
You can withdraw the motion.
I'm withdrawing my motion.
And or we can do it on.
That we table this decision.
They did it before.
Table this decision pending the fact that the insurance company, if we can lock down 1 year service with no guarantee, a guarantee of no increases, that we will meet back at a special meeting once we find that this is good, have another special meeting and vote on this decision. It has been seconded by Larry Edgett to table the motion pending the investigation from the insurance company to get a guaranteed 1 year freeze on our insurance rate.
We're not saying they're going to do it for sure, right?
We're just going to talk about it. Okay. We need to discuss it at a special meeting like the motion.
Fino, would it be better if I could just try to get her on the phone and see if we can just get her to answer those questions now?
9:30?
Well, they want the business. I want the insurance.
I think we need to move on.
Yeah, let's move on, because we can have a special meeting this week if we need to. Once we find out the information, let's just...
I can call her at 8 o'clock in the
morning. Call the board together and have a meeting tomorrow if we need to.
Okay. We'll call her first thing. I can do that.
Those board members wishing to table this motion until we find out from the insurance company if we can get a one-year lock-in on this rate. Is a show of hands all in favor of? Let it be shown that all board members did vote in favor of that. Tabling that motion. Our new business, agenda item number 10, discuss and vote on formal endorsement to proceed with the helipad. Discussion.
I have a question. We talked about grants. Maybe nobody knows the answer to this, but would grants also help with expenses for maintenance?
I don't think the initial installation grant that we're applying for would. Joan would probably know the answer to this better.
The answer to that is no.
Okay.
It'll just be for the construction of the camp.
And who's the grant through?
HUD. Joan has dealt with the grant, the similar grants in the past.
How long? Do you have a time period on this time frame on this particular grant?
Yes, the grant will become available for application in the fall. And my goal is to try and have all of our ducks on the pond ready to apply for it. But it will be available in the fall, probably with construction in the next year, in 2011. Would you guess that correct, Joan?
Hopefully.
Does anybody have a ballpark figure on the construction of the helipad with electricity run to it?
No.
Cost of concrete and so on?
No. We got some concrete costs. Mr. Chairman, but until we sort of have a plan of what we want to do, we just have parts and pieces of the budget, and we haven't gotten to that point yet.
Let me ask the Chief. Chief, do you have any idea what the helipad?
No.
Ballpark figure, 20,000, 30?
No. The only thing I was able to provide so far is what the specs ought to be. 25 by 25 concrete pad. Preferably with the lights being flush with the concrete so the skids don't get hung up on it, with a overall space of 100 by 100 with a 4-foot fence, so that way we can keep everything out of sight. The biggest fear that pilots have is the tail rotor, somebody coming and walking up on a tail rotor, so if we have the fence up, that'll help keep that out. Plus, it'll also help keep tumbleweeds out.
Okay, do you know what the outside 75 feet needs to be made of? Is that like 8 feet?
We're thinking preferably asphalt.
Okay.
Or concrete, whichever is least expensive.
Okay, so
you definitely don't want anything that's going to cause any type of dust or brown up.
Or any rocks moving.
So do you have any idea of thickness?
No, I turned over the specs. I don't know if it had anything on there. I think they said 4 to 6 inches.
Yes, mm-hmm. 4 to 6 for the landing zone. The perimeter pad could be 3 to 4 inches.
Right.
Four
would be right. And then a windsock and and then an H needs to be painted on.
And a circle.
Yeah.
The grant. Joan, is it 100% or is there a portion that you have to pay? Is it like an 85, 15, or?
I think I can answer that.
Oh,
I talked to the panelist. She says there is the possibility that the grant will pay for everything.
Oh, good. Okay.
Right.
So, you know, barring a road entry or anything like this, it doesn't seem like that's a lot of concrete or pavement or fencing and electrical work and so on. It doesn't seem the cost is going to be
so high. I don't think so.
And we didn't want to give out a cost and then have people say that's too much or that's too little, and we don't have any feedback because we don't know ourselves. So we haven't done that work yet until we get everybody in agreement that they are going to support this.
Well, I think this is a great endeavor. for the community and the fire department and for the safety of the entire community. I'd like to make a motion that we give the community and all the organizations that are working for this our approval and endorsement to proceed and to provide as much assistance as possible. The fire department can handle.
And Mr. Chairman, if I can, I have no problem attending the meetings to help further this and help keep this going. And I also have no problems with the crews that are on shift to help take care and maintain the helipad.
Okay. So that's my motion. Do I hear a second? We have a second by Larry Edgett. Any discussion?
And I'd like to know what the monetary, if endorsing involves any monetary. And from what I understand, we were talking about a long-term lease, but that the endorsement is for the idea.
The endorsement
and
is for
any
the
monies
idea.
That we would be involved with would have to come up at a later date.
That's right.
Okay.
We just want your support.
You
so
got
we have, I can only say we almost have 100% of the community that we have communicated with. They think it's a great idea. And, you know, we say, well, we're getting these organizations. Why? This is what we need here.
Well, wasn't there some discussion about what good was it going to be because they don't take off in stormy weather anyway, but what you have finally is something in the city center that's going to support any reasonable attempt to land. Whereas at the golf course, you've got problems. At the canyon, you've got problems.
Well, I had that problem in November.
Exactly. When you, the storm
the
wouldn't
they
have
couldn't land because they couldn't see.
Yeah.
And that's why we want to put these lights out
yeah.
so they could see.
Yeah.
Can I ask another question? What would be wrong? I'm probably going to get shot here in seconds, but what would be wrong for asking for two of them? And the reason why I say that is we have a location over at the Richland Station where we've been landing them also. So what would be the possibilities of getting two landing zones put up? So that way we don't have to... So that way we have one at Richland to cover those folks as well, at the Richland Station.
Well, let's speak for myself. Our preference is Sunsize right now.
Right.
And maybe when we get this thing all together, we can approach the grant people and say, well, they could use another one on here, but this one's our primary concern.
Right. Okay.
So I think we need to take one step at a time here.
This one.
Okay. I have an idea, though.
Any more discussion on the board?
Yeah.
We have a motion out and to formally endorse the community and all the organizations connected with the helipad and endorse and proceed with our endorsement. And we have a second. We'll now take a vote. All those in favor of that motion with a show of hands. A show of hands show that all board members did vote in favor of that endorsement.
Thank you.
This was the last organization we were waiting for, and so now we're ready to go.
Good.
And we will keep you informed. We will bring you costs and stuff like that. We will keep you informed.
Let Charles Tidd know about the situation so he can put it into his local newspaper.
Okay,
we're going to move on now and discuss our under new business agenda item number 11, discuss and vote to purchase a Type 3 engine from the Arizona State Forestry. Chief?
I'll pass that on to Steve.
Okay. This is the wrong time to
do that. I was thinking the same thing, Steve.
You want to spend how much?
And the public need to leave. You know, you can leave at any time. You know, don't feel like you're tied down.
Does anybody want some water to drink?
No.
Is that anything else?
Gatorade.
Whatever's in the fridge.
Gatorade. We have Gatorade.
Go ahead,
Thank you for coming.
Okay. We've been trying to purchase a Type 3 engine through a grant. We got word from our grant people that they denied it for us. It didn't make it to the second level of the competition. So in talking about that, we have that was a grant for $302,000 that we had applied for. So that was denied. But that was budgeted. That was a 95. That was a 95-5 grant. In other words, they were going to pay 95% and we paid 5%. So we had budgeted aside $17,000 and something for that. Since we didn't get that, we still have option of possibly purchasing one from the state forestry. It's actually one that's been used in Flagstaff Forest Service. U.S. Forest Service owned it. They've turned it over to the state. The state has a pool that they're letting some of the rural departments participate in purchasing those vehicles. The vehicle will stay in under the state will register. It'll still be under state registration and plates. But given if we pay for it, then it's ours to do with it whatever we want until we decide we don't want it. Then it goes back to the state. It's a 1994 Ford. Either F700 or 800, they're not sure. It's a crew cab, 600 gallons of water, and it is a Type 3 engine. The one thing we'd have to do is paint it. That's one of the requirements, is we have to paint it a different color than the Forest Service green. So it probably cost us anywhere from, trying to find out where the cost is, they weren't sure. Somewhere between $2,500 to $5,000 for this. It's in really, according to what they understand, it's in really good shape. In fact, they were supposed to get it a year ago, but it was in such good shape, the Forest Service did not let go of it.
They're still using it.
They're still using it, and I've seen pictures of it in the snow and stuff, so it's looks like it's in pretty good shape.
Ooh, it's actually a truck I was trying to get when I was with Ponderosa.
Yeah, right. I haven't seen it. I've been trying to, I've made two trips to Phoenix to look at it, but it didn't get it.
Do we know anybody that lives up there? So we can call and say, would you please go in?
Okay, well, Monday, they were supposed to go up and get it, put it on a truck, and bring it to Phoenix. When they got to Phoenix, they were supposed to give me a call and let me come up and look at it. They have a trip out to Safford, and they were going to go ahead and haul it down and let us drop it off. On the interstate, we were going to pick it up, bring it down here, look at it, and see if we wanted it. Anyway.
Swell.
What I'd like to do is look at it before that happens and make that decision if we can before all that happens. But it would be, it would really help us out as far as our ISO and our wildland capacity and our wildland getting extended stays out of state and stuff. Whenever Californians have fires, they ask for a Type 3 engine. They don't ask for Type 6s.
But is a Type 3 engine of this age going to get us in?
It will still be serviceable for us under the it's under a special cooperative agreement. Once we get it, it'll be under a special cooperative with the state of Arizona.
And we so still get paid for it.
We get paid for it. Our person will get paid for it. It's at a reduced rate than the normal Type 3s out there, but it's still substantial.
Okay, I remember you discussing the fact that unless we had a new enough engine when we purchased the other,
right,
we wouldn't be kept on fire
safe. Right. There'll still be a little bit of reduction, but not much. But because it is a state truck, you're still going to get some pretty good money for it.
But what we're saying is we just get a reduced payment from them for paying for working at Wildlands because of the age of the vehicle.
Right. The hourly rate of the truck.
Okay. Right. Hourly rate of the truck.
Right. Is the other deal.
Right. What you're saying is Forest Service had come out with a 10-year max that they wanted on vehicles. They didn't want anything older than that going out because they were having trouble with getting all kinds of broken down vehicles out there. The state had backed that back to 20 years now. And so under their agreement, we can still operate that for another, 6 years, 4 years? It's 16 years old, so another 4 years.
So it's sort of like a lease in a way, because we just give it back to them?
Right.
There's no residual, we don't
pay them.
We sell it.
No.
Okay.
So they don't give us anything back.
It's a one-time fee. What's that?
You need a
when we give it back, they don't give us anything back.
No.
No, we just turn it over to them.
We keep up all the maintenance on it.
It becomes like ours, except until we don't want it.
What kind of dollars are we talking about to paint?
That's a good question. We were going to check into that with Dominic. Has a friend that is a painter up in Tucson. He's offered his shop. If we go up and do the prep on it, then he'll paint it at a reduced rate. We don't know what that is. I'm guessing with paint costs and everything, it's going to be $3,000 for painting.
Yeah, I'm guessing that too.
Really? There's no $500?
Oh, no.
Well,
what if we have the inmate crew do it?
$3,000? Yeah, I
have spray cans.
Yeah, we could roller it.
Have you ever seen Scott? I'm serious. Have you ever seen Scott Osborne's truck? He paints it with spray cans.
Yeah.
It is the most beautiful thing.
So
I'd be willing to pay Scott, keep the money here, $1,000 to pay it versus $3,000 for someone else to
pay.
Yeah,
and that was just a guess. I don't really know. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm guessing
on... You scared the crud out of me on that one.
I'm guessing on the paint. You know...
That's the outside limit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we want to really see if we can find somebody that don't need to do it.
Plus, we've got to find, you know, we've got to put the striping on and stuff. And that I would recommend we do it to inmate crew. They do it so well, so fast, so cheap. So, anyway, that's...
That's your spiel?
No, I don't know if I'm done. Let me tell you. How do you guys feel about that?
I think we're estimating the price of the truck at $5,000. Right?
I'm guessing because it's in good shape, they're going to say $5,000.
And we had budgeted $19,000.
$17,000. For the AFG grant, the FEMA one, that we did not get. And we just got notified of that too.
Do we have to get tires?
I don't know. We don't know.
We'll wait and see. Yeah.
This will... help on our ISO rating?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I've been...
It's going to get us to a 1.
I've been running this ISO rating by everyone, to be honest with
you.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the guy I bought the apartments from brought his insurance company out down, and he says, this is what it says now. What's it going to go to now?
Right.
I want to know.
Well, see, this particular Type 3 engine helps us on the pumping side, helps us on the water carrying side, too. It's actually would be considered under the ISO as a mini pumper. It is structure qualified.
Qualified.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Mary, you had a question?
Well, before when you went to buy the pumper, we did a resolution and we all signed it, and then you went and had the authorization with you. Is that what you need?
I'm not sure. I told them that I would have to run this past the board before we could say yes or no. And they said, well, and then I called Flip Elliott today, he's our AFMO, and he said that everybody was in favor of us getting this pump, this tender, or this Type 3 engine. And as far as he's concerned, we have it if we want it. So I don't know what the requirements are. They'll probably need something. For ownership or for, there'll probably be an agreement that we'll have to sign with them. I don't know how they do that.
There'll be an agreement, and they're going to want to see the minutes that it was voted on.
Yeah, and it'll be under their inventory still.
I used to have two of them.
I guess.
So what I'm discussing. So what we need is a vote for a yes, and the funds.
Mine was a 7.
I'd make the motion that we would purchase this item if we can keep the cost under $8,500. Half of what we
okay. Of purchasing this.
Purchasing and painting.
Purchasing.
And detailing. And
that gives you $3,500 if you buy it for $5,000.
Okay.
Purchase, paint, and striping?
Or else if you buy it for $6,000, you
and if he buys it for $2,000, he gets to keep the rest. What?
He doesn't need any tires.
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I don't really know. But we can work with that later.
Okay, we have a motion out on the board. From the board, from Bill McCarter, to purchase a Type 3 engine from the Arizona State Forestry, a specific Type 3 engine. If the price can stay below $8,500. Do I hear a second?
Yes.
We have a second by Larry Edgen. It is open for discussion at this time. Anything to discuss?
Call the motion.
Yes.
Call the motion.
Okay, so we'll now vote on this. All board members are wanting to purchase a Type 3 engine from Arizona State Forestry as described by Steve. Show of hands for $85. Show of hands show that that has been approved. Moving on to agenda item number 12, Chief's report.
Total fire calls for the past month. We had one structure fire in Sonazona last Sunday. We had the fire trucks and the Cochise Days parades. Russell did a good job of doing that. He took that on himself to do the application and all of that. And he did a great job with that. And then also him and Chris set up the booths to do the, along with the vendors. Training, we have conducted fire behavior training this month. Most of the meeting minutes have been turned into the station on April 30th. Minutes turned in are from present to April of 2009. I'm still waiting on the ones for 2009 back to December. Thank you. Roles and responsibilities team has been doing a great job with handling the chain of command. No further on chief's reports.
Next item, the EMS report.
As of April 6, 2010, the EMS crews have responded to 38 ambulance requests, of which 21 were transports, 7 were refusals, 2 code 900s. We have hired Paul Peterson to fill our full-time paramedic position. This is Paul. So for those of you that haven't met him, Paul Peterson comes to us with many years of fire and EMS experience. We are happy to have him on shift with us. Currently, our roster is at 12 employees to include 6-time full-time personnel, 3 EMTs, and 2 paramedics. And 6 part-time employees, 2 EMTs and 4 paramedics. We recently passed our ambulance inspection of Medic 301 with no deficiencies, and it is ready to go for another year. Brandy has been through orientation as a paramedic and is now working on her own shift. She is doing a great job, and we're lucky to have her. That's all for EMS reports.
Moving on to agenda item number 14, Wildland Report.
Five people have completed the S215 Wildland River Interface training. Plus, we've done 26 hours of hands-on training on pump operations, tactics, and hand tools. And we've applied for the 2010 RFA and BFA grants, which are for outfitting a Type 3 engine and for modifying engine 306. The state informed me that it did pass through the state already, and it's in the hands of the people at Boise. And they said usually what goes through them gets to Boise is approved. But they said we don't know that yet, just because we do know that. And we've also accomplished 4 training controlled burns and responded to 2 brush fires. Any questions?
Can I have a quick question? And it might, I don't know which report it's on, but about a year ago, we purchased that computer-based program for training.
Mm-hmm. The target safety.
And I'd like to see how we're doing on that. I'd like to see the list of employees and what all they have passed on that. I want to know if we're getting our money's worth out of that.
We're doing away with that. We're going to do away with it July 1st.
You can check with Brandy. She has all the particulars on who's done what. If you want to.
Was that a yearly subscription?
Yearly subscription, correct. And the reason why we're doing away with it, the main reason why it was purchased was to use it to get CEs, and the hospital is not recognizing the CEs on it. So that's the reason for doing away with it. It costs us a lot of money to have it. So.
Well, I was thinking it was for our ISO rating that they were going to really,
we can do trainings ourselves for ISO ratings.
But it was the tracking, knowing who had taken it, and having everything all computerized.
That's not worth the price. We pay a lot of money for
do
that.
Do we have a reporting somebody system can, that we're going to go
yes,
to?
Yes, we do have a reporting system now. And when
it going to be Excel or what?
When Brandy does training, she documents everything that we do in a training book.
There's a log of everybody's.
So out. If any right. of us wanted to see a report on who's training and what where we're at,
right? You can see.
We can get that.
Yeah. Yep. Right. She has it.
Brandy has
you
it.
You know what? That's probably not a bad idea to run through on part of the meeting nights. Just run who's done what. That way we can. Is that my,
Well, we can. I mean, that, you know, I bring it up on trainings and what we've done as a group.
We're doing that, aren't we?
Yeah.
Maybe not per person.
The only thing is, we would have had two trainings in here, but we did a wildfire on the night we were supposed to do training, so we didn't get the second training in.
Never mind.
Okay. We're trying to do. We're up to trying to do two trainings a month, plus maybe even a Saturday. So.
Okay, moving on to the next agenda item. There are no further questions. The treasurer's report.
Okay. You see your. You'll turn to your treasurer's report page. Currently, the M&O account, there's $103,048.63.
I'm going to read you so.
Should be your last page if it's on your. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll look.
It should be. I double checked everybody's packets right before you came.
Okay. So
our
shuffling papers.
Me too. Our reserve account is at $64,486.69. Petty cash is we keep it at $305.93. So that brings total checking all the accounts is $167,841.25. As of from April 7th through May 4th. You can see what our payroll liabilities are, $6,000. Our total liabilities, again, $6,000. Unrestricted net assets, $155,570.31. Our net income so far this month, and it's not close to the end of the month to where the rest of our funds will be coming in is so far has been $6,000, $6,088.12. Or I'm sorry, $6,182.82. So that's where we're at.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
We're talking about carrying over $200,000.
Approximately.
Where is that? I don't see $200,000 anywhere. Are we expecting our revenues to get pretty big?
Well, we haven't collected the rest of our taxes for the fiscal year end, so we're...
We've collected most everything, right? So it shouldn't be that much.
Most everything. This is what's in the account right now. This is not our budget. This is hard numbers what's in our account.
Right.
So I'm not understanding what you're talking about. If we're projecting a $200,000 carrier, that doesn't mean it's sitting in our account. It means it's in our budget. It's not sitting in our account.
But I understand what Mary's saying. Are we expecting if we've got payroll and et cetera to pay, are we expecting another $60,000 in income?
We're expecting quite a bit.
I would say
taxes,
so,
yeah.
Because we ran 33 calls. You estimate each call is a minimum of $803. So I can only estimate.
We have two more months to go, correct?
Yes, and I can only estimate what the insurance companies will pay us. So, I don't know for sure. This is what's in our account right now.
So out of 2 months, basically, salary is $100,000 for the 2 months.
We've got $103 in our.
And we have $103 right now, and that's. That's with all of our bills that have gone out.
Okay. All right. It's.
And you can now. You can see.
And we got. We still got monies coming in for the grants.
There's funds coming in from grants. There's funds coming in from taxes.
What's the estimated coming in from grants? How much?
Well, 300.
No, less. No.
Was it 90,000?
Yeah, because we don't have anything spent on the SCBAs right now. Somewhere in the neighborhood, maybe 90.
So that's coming in, but do we have to pay out with that grant money? Right?
I think we've already paid out on that one.
I'm not sure.
On the VFAs and RFAs, we've already paid out on that.
Yeah, but for the AFG, we'll have to pay out 5%.
Right.
So it's free and clear, I mean, too much, other than maybe 5%, 90,000 more, so that's
this
for
is
the 200,000.
Operating cost. Okay, yeah, this is just, I'm sorry, I'm like, I don't understand what you're saying. This is
this is actual. I mean,
yeah, well, yes, but also we have another roughly 39,000 in taxes that are being collected at the moment per county treasurer. I'm not gonna count that until it's in the account.
Right.
But that's the reports I'm getting.
Okay. So we have a lot more revenue.
Yes. But I don't have it, so I'm not putting it on there because.
Right. We're just asking. Yeah. How in the world did you come up with 200,000?
Yes, I understand.
Oh, we'll see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anything else? Would you like to adjourn this meeting? At 10 minutes or
9:45.
It's 9:45.
9:48.
9:48.